the Ulster County Legislature Economic Development Tourism Housing Planning and Transit Committee is called to order. Our meeting agenda this evening, we are in the county Karen L. Binder Library, 6th floor of the county office building. The date is March 6, 2018, and the time is now 6 p.m. Mary, would you call roll, please?
Legislator Archer?
Present.
Legislator DeLon?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Legislator Waltman?
Here.
Chairman Maloney?
Here. Everyone was distributed the minutes of our January 31st, 2018 meeting electronically. Is there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes as presented?
I did have some corrections. I apologize.
That's quite all right. Now's the time to...
I forgot to bring them, though.
Ah. Were they...
I just got referenced in the beginning, which was not an appropriate reference. It wasn't...
Was it, you mean like...
In the very beginning. I'm sorry. I meant to bring
you
it.
I think you have a copy right there.
I do.
You do.
Here. There's a copy of it right here. Right here in front of you.
Didn't?
No, I don't.
No, we don't copy the minutes here.
It's just one. It's
on. Yes, right here. Broadband is assisting businesses. Yes, I have not been assisting businesses in Ellenville. Suzanne acknowledged that I was
here
continuing to support broadband. But I am not doing broadband.
I did see that. I was amazed.
Just continuing. Okay.
We're surprised, right?
So would you like that line stricken?
Yeah, just you can, I think, read it without my name, please.
Broadband has been assisting businesses in Ellenville with...
No. It's Evolving Media has been assisting.
Correct.
Not me.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll put Evolving Media.
Yes.
Evolving Media.
Thank you.
You were just...
Any other... Corrections,
so
additions, deletions.
With all of your efforts.
Thank you, Legislator.
Second.
Second. No, any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Very good. Thank you. This evening we have Steve Reich for presentation of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee annual report. Steve, the floor is yours. Everyone has
good
a
evening.
Copy in front of them.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman Maloney.
You're very welcome, sir.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you folks. You know, I'm not a great public speaker, a fan of speaking too long. What's not in the report is our thanks, as we work with people in other counties, and they express their astonishment that we have a committee that works with the legislative and the executive and addresses trail issues in a straightforward and mature way. They're astounding. I've talked to people in Westchester and Dutchess and Sullivan County, and they really are envious of what we have. And that's because this county took the time to create some plans and decided that they needed to have folks that would answer to those plans, like the non-motorized transportation plan specifically. So we've modeled our behavior since, I believe, 2009 to try and address the needs that we had there and those that developed. So I've put my report in paper for you folks to go over, and I'd be glad to answer questions after this. But one thing I want to try and make you aware of is that Ulster County, and specifically two towns in Ulster County, really are poised to become trail hubs in the very near future. Not just one or two trails, but you know, the state kind of converging on this area as we build forward. I recently had the Empire State Trail people here, the director here, and it really opened my eyes to how much business we can see. And I've been at this for a while, and I can see it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger if we do our part and take care of helping people find their way and making it safe for them to find their way. So those are the challenges that I've listed, and those are the ones that I encourage you to hear when we bring forward specifics on them. But again, I want to communicate my personal thanks and the thanks of my committee men to you as members of the legislature and the legislature as a whole of hearing us and working with us and keeping us moving forward. And that's all I got. Yes,
the two hubs that you were referring to?
That would be New Paltz and Kingston.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to make sure.
New
Thank
Paltz
you.
By virtue of the River to Ridge Trail that's building, and then on the other side, I didn't kind of tie these together, on the other side of the ridge, they're rebuilding the carriageways so you'll be able to cross over and go right on down towards Ellenville, jump off at Berm Road, ride right into Ellenville, enjoy Cone's Bakery, or whatever, you know. So there's really, in the next two or three years, these things are going to be done. They created a really interesting new park that hardly anybody knows about. It didn't really underline it, called Shaft 2A, just in Accord, Warsing Line. And they did a bunch of stonework. It's going to get real popular. It's a little mini park.
And a beautiful waterfall.
Mm-hmm. So all of these little amenities that are very near the O&W Rail Trail, they're just sprouting up left and right. And other towns are getting involved. Esopus is making some improvements in trails. And they kind of want to know why they've been left off the map to date. So there's a lot of growth here. And I thank you for your support and for your time this evening. I'll be glad to answer any technical questions you have on the reports if you run into any.
Absolutely.
You thank us, but Steve, I want to thank you because you have been at this for a very long time and put a lot of time and effort into it, and I know it's a thankless job sometimes. So thank you for your service on this committee and keeping us informed of what's happening.
It's been an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
And Steve is chair, not speaking as the chair, but just please, when you go back to your group, please let them know that we appreciate their support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've really upgraded the group over the past couple of years. We now have professional land managers as well as hobbyists like myself. And so that's really upped our game and improved our land management grasp of the overall issues, I think.
Any other questions?
I want to second that because you've just done a remarkable job. I'm so jealous as someone who's doing this work in Orange County and there's not a tenth of the kind of support there, and because there's no Steve Rice there.
Deputy Executive.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just I had the privilege of staying for the last Trails Advisory Committee to hear the report on the Empire State Trail. What a great presentation.
It was.
Just exciting to know that trail, because of all the work that's been done, that's so massive, and that they actually diverted that trail across the river into Ulster County and make those accommodations just to recognize all the work that's been done. I think it's a great testament to everybody that's a trails fan, but also behind the scenes working on those projects.
Thanks.
It's going to be great for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, they realized they wanted to build a 750-mile trail, and they had 350 miles built if they went the right way.
Yeah. So
that's part of how we got that, I think. So.
Okay.
Thanks for your support.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Do you need me for anything else?
If you want to stay for about another 2 minutes, what we can do, why don't we, if you want to get out of here, we can take Resolution 63.
My wife already agreed to speak about
it. Okay. All right. Next on the agenda, we have Scott Waz. Owner of the Alpine Osteria Bed and Breakfast and president of the Bel Air Region and Tourism Association regarding Airbnbs. Mr. Fouaz was at our last meeting and he pulled me aside at the end of the meeting and he did ask. I told him to contact Vicki and he was placed on the agenda. And, sir, the floor is yours. Why don't we see if we can keep it, you know.
It's going to be 2 or 3 minutes. I just want to, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to come.
You're very welcome, sir.
And what I do is I get back and I'll do an email blast to the members of the organization as well as the Ulster County Coalition because they're a member of ours and we're a member of theirs as bodies. So together we represent many dozens of establishments where people lodge and dine at some of them. The Airbnb thing, when we were here a couple of weeks ago, everybody was focused on the money, the 2% bed tax, and I guess the sales tax is going to come after that, but it's a zero-sum game. If you come to my place 1 year and I give the county $1 in tax, and then next year you go to an Airbnb, then you're going to give them $1, but I don't get that $1. I lose business. So the business that Airbnb is doing is taken away from legitimate businesses like the ones I represent as well as my own, and I want people to understand that they're cannibalizing our businesses. They're taking business from us, and people right now are buying Airbnb properties and making them Airbnbs. Just I don't know the reason for some of them. Some of them are professionals at this now, and they're managing properties. And come hella high water, you know, they're going to fill those places, and they're usually homes, and they're taking away business from, like I said, like a bed and breakfast like me, or like someplace like the Emerson. Matter of fact, somebody across the street, they sold a piece of property. Don't know why they did it, but they sold a piece of property somewhat recently. The person bought it with the specific intention of turning it into an Airbnb, which they did. I don't know how long that's going to last, but that's a specific example. And I'd like the people in this room to understand how destructive this Airbnb thing not only is, but it's getting worse. It's like a tsunami. It's building. Unless the county legislates something, as well as the people, you know, in Shandaken where I am, Bob Stanley's the supervisor, but unless there's some type of legislation where an owner, for instance, has to be present at an Airbnb house to host somebody, then it could come under control a little bit, because right now there's no owners there at these homes. And so when somebody rents an Airbnb and they say there's going to be 6 people there, there could be 8, there could be 14, there could be 20, it could be a party. And then there's neighbors. So it's affecting neighborhoods. I've been doing a lot of reading the last few months on this. And some neighborhoods are actually evaporating because they can't get rid of the Airbnb properties. And it's not the same neighborhood they knew. And the noise pollution is really the big example for them. Now, I just randomly, I've got 3 things here. You might be able to read it. It says Airbnb hell. Now, I didn't cherry pick these. You can find countless thousands of these articles on the internet. And it says uncensored Airbnb stories from hosts and guests. Here's another one from a realtor magazine. And these are dated March. Airbnb is crashing the neighborhood. Here's another one from The Guardian. When Airbnb rentals turn into nuisance neighbors. And that's what I was talking about. And like I said, you can find countless articles like this. They're not hard to find. And I can leave these here, and you guys, if anybody wants to take a peek at them, you can. In fact, I'll just leave them on the table.
What I'd ask is Mary to scan them and email them to everybody tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're just examples. Anybody could Google and just go on Airbnb, negative Airbnbs, problems with Airbnbs, what's happening to neighborhoods because of Airbnbs, etc. So rather than make a business like mine become a dinosaur I have to go out of business, I'm lucky. I have a very brisk, robust business. In fact, I probably have the busiest place up at Bel Air Mountain where I am. And I've been there for 18 years. Other people aren't so lucky. They're going to get foreclosed on if nothing's done in a reasonable amount of time to hold back this Airbnb wave. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm just trying to bring this to light. Because what you guys do, I don't understand, because I don't do what you do. What I do, unless you've done it before, you might not get it either. So somebody has to tell you and share stories with you so you understand. But it's having a very serious negative impact on the entire industry. And that's really my point. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody's aware of that. And if there's anything you can do to either curtail the Airbnb problem. Let me give an example, too, because everybody knows Deborah Harris at the Best Western. She's the marketing director over there. And in the last 18 months, they've seen their business drop off because of the filming industry now doing Airbnbs. Because I know Mike Hine is really big on the filming industry. We're all excited about it. But now, instead of being filled for a couple of months with the film crews, some of them are going to these Airbnbs, and it's taken away business from them. Now, they've got a couple hundred plus rooms. Maybe they'll get 30 rooms filled where they used to have 100 rooms filled. Maybe they'll get 10 rooms filled where they used to have 40 rooms filled. And as a matter of fact, I just got off the phone with her about an hour before I came here, and that's why it was on my mind. Okay? So these are real stories. It's really happening. It's a bad problem. And the focus on the money to try and get the money, yeah, that's good. But all it is taking $1 from me, and it's given another dollar to somebody else to give to you. And so eventually a lot of places are going to become dinosaurs, places like mine. And people that are traveling as couples, that don't want a house, that don't want somebody's apartment, they're not going to be able to come to places like mine. It's just a matter of time. It's happening. It's just a matter of time. And I've become aware of it a couple of years ago now, but it's really ramped up lately. And the last thing I want to say is Airbnb now, not in the beginning, but now all they care about is generating more income, and they don't care who they step on. And in fact, I believe that the ultimate goal now, not in the beginning, but now, is to evaporate places like mine and places like the Emerson, et cetera, so that there's no other place for people to go except Airbnbs. So anything you guys can do to try and come up with some rules, regulations, if you wanted input from me down in the future, Tamara Murray, the marketing director at the Emerson, she would like to be involved too. If anybody needs just conversation about it. And that's it. That's my 5 minutes worth, my 2 cents worth. But it's important that everybody here knows what will eventually happen, that it's happening now, because I get the feedback from the members. Okay?
Just a question. Do you or your coalition or association, do you report your numbers to Smith Travel?
No.
You do not?
No.
The Emerson doesn't?
I don't know if they do individually, but as
What I'm saying is I'm not doubting you. I fully understand. For a moment, I just want to play devil's advocate to see where the occupancy numbers were over an extended period of time.
Yeah, I understand you're looking for some empirical data rather than anecdotes. But let me just tell you another anecdote real quick. Last week, a guy knocks on my door with 3 young children. And he says, hey, my name is Raj. Do you remember me? They stayed with me 5 years ago when the kids were 4, 5, and 6. And now they're, you know, 4 or 5 years older. They specifically wanted to come. This is what he told me. He's a doctor. He specifically wanted to come to my house because they, after skiing, they wanted to stop by and visit because they were with me for 8 days about 4 or 5 years ago. Very nice day. We had a nice connection. And I said, well, where are you staying now? And he said, I'm staying at an Airbnb in Fleischmann's. And I said, let me ask you something, Raj. Would you have stayed with me if it wasn't for Airbnb? And he says, absolutely. So that just happened a week ago, you know, and if anybody wants to know, if you want numbers, we could probably get numbers, but they would take time to compile.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just telling you now really what's happening, and I'm not exaggerating. I wouldn't be here if I didn't want a lot of meaning behind what I'm saying to be true. I mean, I would not be here. I'm trying to represent people that are shaking in their boots right now in the organizations, including the Emerson. The Emerson's a great spot. They're nervous about it. And they're sorry they sold their property across the street that has turned the place into an Airbnb. He's got 12 units, 5 of them are short-term Airbnb, and 7 of them are supposed to be long-term. That's how it sits right now. It could change tomorrow, and maybe he can just sell to somebody else. Who knows? But I'm just telling you why he specifically bought that property, and that's part of the problem. It's not somebody like in the beginning with Airbnb. It was like, okay, you got a room, you can rent it out through us and make some extra money. Great concept, but it's morphed into a monster now, and it's the new kid on the block that's become the bully. And I just want everybody to be aware of that. And if you read some of these articles or start talking amongst your friends that own establishments like mine, or like the Emerson as an example, the large people, they'll tell you the same stories. There's hardly going to be anybody that won't have a story to tell you in a negative fashion about Airbnb. And this has nothing to do with the neighborhood coming down because there's noise, you know, there's no owner there. So when somebody comes to an Airbnb, like I said, they could say there's 5 people or 8 people and 20 people show up because their intention is to party. And the neighbors are... It wouldn't be good for you if somebody was next door to you and they started renting out as an Airbnb, you'd start pulling your hair out. And you got a lot of hair to pull. For a while.
Thank you.
So and thanks for letting me speak. I really appreciate that. And I'll get back to the folks and I'll just tell them I spoke for about 5 minutes and I just wanted to make the committee aware of what's happening. And I can't stay for anything else. I've actually got people coming into my place tonight. I actually have to do some shopping before it snows tomorrow and get back.
All right. We'll go.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Okay. I mean, I thank you for coming. Thank you for starting the conversation. And believe me, it will be a topic in this committee.
Yeah, and listen, myself and anybody else that I know that's head of these other organizations would be happy to converse or share stories. And if you want numbers, I'm sure that some of the people have numbers. Okay.
You have a card on?
I do not have a card. 845-254-9851. I answer my phone 7 days a week until midnight. so you can pretty much catch me. I take my phone in the shower with me.
That's too short. Okay, that's TMI. All right.
No, what I'm saying is, I really try to do the business.
I understand.
You know, I have a lot to lose if this thing continues.
It is your life. I understand. Yeah, moving on to resolutions. Yes. Resolutions for our March 20th, 2018 regular legislative session. Resolution number 63, reestablishing the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee, the Ulster County Legislature.
I'll move it.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor by saying
aye.
Saying aye.
Aye.
So. Resolution number 77, restricting Chamber of Commerce membership paid for with Ulster County funds. I have asked the head of the Ulster County Chamber of Commerce to be with us this evening. Ward Todd, former chairman of the legislature, legislator. Okay.
Mr. Chairby, I would probably go, well, I mean, I'll move it for discussion purposes, but I was going to suggest, I mean, maybe Mr. Maloney explain why he's doing it and then have Mr. Todd then rebut or
whatever.
Comment.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not just about the Ulster Chamber.
Do we have a
Joe, do you want to talk to us?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. You want me to look at you?
I'll need second. A second. Right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There you go.
All right. It's not just the Ulster Chamber, and it's any chamber. It's not a lot of money. It looks like $8,000 to $10,000 over the last 5 years, but every penny matters. I did leave in economic development and tourism if they chose to do it. I'm not crazy about that. I love the fact that I'd love to see us all be members. I'd love to see all departments be members and have a presence there, the sheriff and so on. I see value in their presence there. But I look at it as Pandora's box. Where are we to now start judging these business networking organizations, and what if we find value in all of them? I just don't think the taxpayer was ever meant to pay. We sit up here, I think everyone here is in some way or another part of the political class. If I was in a room full of people that were not involved in politics, I'm fairly confident we'd have a majority saying, no, I don't think taxpayer money should be used for memberships to Chamber of Commerce and other, like I said, business networking type organizations. If the sheriff, the comptroller, any other department head, all of which make $100,000 a year, any of the top appointed officials who oversee a department, most of which make over $100,000 a year, if they see value in being members of the chamber and their departments being members of the Chamber of Commerce, I suggest they pay that fee. That's how I see it. I don't see this as that big of a deal. I feel strongly about it, but it's, you know, either way, it's going to be a tough vote to make, especially with Mr. Todd sitting here watching, but we'll see.
So who are you taking this away from?
Everybody but economic and tourism.
Everybody? Though?
Well, right now, here's a quick,
something?
There's a couple of departments, they come and go over the years. If you went back further, Mr. Todd may be able to tell us, I think at one point we paid by member out of the legislative budget, everybody paid, and now it's a pretty, I mean, it's not a lot of money, it's $400 or so for the whole legislative body, but every penny counts, and I just see it as good government. But there are those. That's a quick list of the last couple of years in the different departments. You'll see the Rosendale Chamber, the New Paltz Chamber. 1 year, not really sure the rationale behind some of it, but I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think it's much to ask Mr. Van Blarkum or Mr. Auerbach. If you want your people to be members of the Chamber of Commerce, not on the taxpayer dime.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Just for everyone, Joe handed out something, but I'm not looking.
You can pass that around. Amber grabbed this for me.
Okay.
This is just a list of.
I had numbers pulled
kind of random
for the past 12 months, and I can copy this. But basically, to the chamber, the Planning and Economic Development Department paid $360. The Comptroller paid $375. The sheriff paid $385, and the legislature paid $600, but that also includes everyone on the other side too. So we'd be taking ourselves out, really the sheriff and the comptroller. In the Southern Ulster Chamber, the tourism department, which legislator Joseph Maloney has no problem with.
I know.
Joe, I didn't interrupt you.
Okay. Put words in my mouth.
You
I believe you exclude the tourism and the economic development people.
I did state that I don't like it, but I can see an argument being made, and I wanted to avoid that argument. But I stated I did not think that they should even do it, but I left them in.
Very good. They're in. The New Paltz Chamber, tourism, and the comptroller. The Rondout Valley Business Association, which is the Rondout Valley growers and all of the people down there. The Office of Economic Education and Training pays a $50 stipend to them. Tourism pays $50, and the comptroller via credit card, which raised a few eyebrows, also pays $50. I mean, as is stated, these are not big numbers, but we'd be taking ourselves, the executive's office. Ken, you wanted to say something?
Just to actually clarify, I want to make sure the numbers got in the record, Mr. Chairman, so thank you for doing that. My understanding that with the RVBA, I think that it's a small number. That might, the membership may come with participating in a meeting type of a thing.
Right.
And I think that's where I don't believe the comptroller budgets for membership in an organization. And I think the credit card, he may have paid to go to one of their meetings, which might include the membership. So I think that's the nuance to that. But I think the sheriff's membership to the chamber is new. And I believe the comptroller, it's not memberships in his contractual expenses, but we can clarify that with the budget.
Ward, would you like to just give something brief? You have the floor. Everyone else has had a chance, so floor is yours.
If anybody has any further questions, I'll certainly be glad to answer. Thanks for the opportunity to speak just for a couple of minutes. And just some background. This organization has been around for 115 years. They got started. Probably a bunch of people didn't look a lot different from me. Got together and put their own businesses aside to help somebody brand new. They're trying to bring a shirt factory to downtown Kingston. It was 115 years ago, and they succeeded, and the organization has grown since then. We're the only countywide chamber of commerce now, but we've really become, over the last 15 years or more, a reflection of what Ulster County is. And it's, you see fewer and fewer either white-haired or no-haired men sitting around tables, and more people of color and of different gender. And I am delighted that that's what the chamber has become. We are really a microcosm of what Ulster County is. We have the typical member is still a small business person, but we have, of our 1,000 members, more than 100 are from the not-for-profit sector. Everything from the Court of Appointed Special Advocates to United Way, all these people, these individuals, these organizations want the chance to be able to meet other people. And when you look at what Ulster County is, there are very few opportunities for folks to get together and share common goals and share life experiences and network. And that's what the chamber is today, and we hope to continue to grow it to that. When the term public-private partnership was invented, I think it kind of had the Ulster County and the chamber in mind. We not only are glad to have you all as members, but we're glad to support you as well. We took on a few years ago, after a conversation with the county exec, the fee for the charging of the electric charging stations. We're a supporter of the county tourism guide. We take a $900 ad every year in support of Ulster County and your tourism efforts. And we don't restrict anyone to come to our meetings and to network. We're delighted to have any legislators. We're delighted to have any department heads. I think why some of the departments that you've singled out are attending the meetings, because they want to have the direct connection with the local business community and the general community. When you talk about the controller, he does his tax sales. He wants everybody to know what those are. The county clerk is a member. We help her promote the Keep It Local campaign so that folks renew their licenses and registrations here in Ulster County and not send it to Albany. When the sheriff joins the chamber, he hopes he can reach out to our members and the general community and promote police awareness and cooperation between police and the public. So those agencies we've worked very closely with, and we help to promote what they're doing to our members and the rest of the general community. That's who we are, and that's what we do.
Thank you.
Any questions for director? What is your title? Direct president. Yes. Ken, then Joe.
Thank you. I just also want to make Ward also is very modest. Again, the chamber has been a great partner to the county in our economic development efforts. In fact, we do programming where we host businesses to come and visit Ulster County and learn about our opportunities, and the chamber is always there to step up, help coordinate activities, and do a lot of things that you won't you won't see it on black and white. So, and I know what we all have great respect for the chamber, but just know that their contribution to the county and our efforts far exceeds any number that you see on the paper. Okay.
Joe?
A question for...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure, Joe.
Do you have a question you say? If the sheriff decided to pay for his department, I mean, would it change anything that you do for the county or any involvement? I mean, I'm a member already. I'm sure half the legislators are members already. Did you have a preference? Were you asking us? Did you come here to ask us to...
I'm strictly here to explain the value of...
So you don't have a... You don't mind if we pay for it ourselves?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
No. I think the... County clerk may do that already.
Yeah, I think
she does.
Yeah.
She pays for it out of her own pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nina does. So.
I'll have to follow suit.
Any other questions for President Todd? Okay. Is there a motion on the floor?
Well, it was already moved and seconded to get the discussion.
Okay. Hector, I'm sure you have something.
No.
No? Okay.
Do you want me to say?
Whatever you think.
I mean, no. I mean, if
Hector,
you want,
I'm just kind of stunned.
I can come up with something if you really want me to. Four score.
All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. All those nay?
Nay.
What was it?
I'm sorry. Did you say something?
I will make one comment, just to address it. The unintended consequences of pulling this when there's a lot of reciprocity between these groups and supporting economic development, if we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, we'd be having a very different conversation. Yeah. So that's really my perspective. It's my perspective that there is good give and take on both sides. I'm sorry. I don't think it's... I think we should be spending our time on big issues.
Yep.
So.
Buckets overflowing. All
right. Yeah. Everybody has a different perspective. I appreciate
thank you.
That.
Thank you, everyone, for the comments. Ward, thank you. Moving on. Resolution number 88, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000. Entered into by the county and Tyler Technologies, Department of Information Services. Joe DeLeon, welcome.
Good evening, this is for the extension of the support and maintenance, software maintenance and support for the New World system. It's the financial system used by the county. So 3 years, $36,000 per year.
Very good.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Oh, I have a question.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Joe, out of just curiosity, on I think it's 3 Schedule B, number 2b, basically the second page, the vendor shall invoice the county in the amount of $4,000 for the server migration services. So are we migrating something over and we're paying them $4,000? What's that for specifically?
Sorry, that's on page 2, you said?
It's on the second page. It's little b. I was trying to be accurate.
It's after the amounts that are listed.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Oh, little b. Okay. So that is an update of servers. So if we update the servers, then there's a cost to move the data that was on the old servers to the new server.
So are we in fact migrating something over to a different server? And if so, what is it?
I think we've already. I'll have to double check that for you. But I think we've already migrated those servers, or this may be different. Sorry, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay,
get back to the information.
Okay, but then maybe. All right.
Would you like to table this till next week?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Any other questions on resolution number 88 for Mr. DeLeon? Okay. Resolution number 89,
Well, going back to 88, just the name, Tyler Technologies.
Yes.
You know what Tyler's doing on a statewide basis.
Yes.
So in the future, I mean, I know they're going to start beta testing. And what I'm talking about, Tyler is rewriting the real property tax software for New York State. There's a whole new platform that's going to come out probably within 6 months. And just how the county is going to interface with that. So it's going to an internet-based system.
Is it good or bad? I can't tell by your face.
It's the general consensus in the community.
He is so excited.
It's the beginning of the end.
I think
New York State will take it over within 10 years.
The biggest impact on us, I think, is that we won't have that
functionality.
But also that you know, concierge type service, you know, that, you know, Pat Murray is able to provide to the assessors. It may be going, you know, through someone at New York State level.
Right.
But there is talk of them providing some administrative access down to our level to support our assessors.
Very good. Things are going to change in 19.
So we'll be able to do a download for analysis? Because you can't really do that right now.
That I'm not sure, but the platform is going to change where when I hit a keystroke, it goes to him. In 19, when I hit a keystroke, it's going to Albany. And that's what I mean. How are they going to work with him to make the circle? That's what I'm asking. Mm.
It gives you more functionality, then clearly, because the system today is somewhat limited in search capability.
Well, you're talking about, you're not seeing the internal.
I'm looking at it from a different perspective, as a real estate agent.
But the internal is changing. They're changing that platform. So that's all in the next 6 to 12 months. So. Mm. All right, moving on. Resolution number 89, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county in Conduit Enterprise Solutions, LLC. Joe, brief description?
I'll move it.
Move.
Second.
Second by Legislator Mayo and Archer.
What about Litz?
Okay. The county clerk land records indexing and receiving support. And so this is an extension for the remainder of this year. They are already writing the RFP to go to another vendor for the next year. So just as a little bit of background, but for the remainder of this year, they want to extend it.
Very good. Legislator Rodriguez.
So I'm assuming this is all out of the county clerk's office, correct? But so we're not providing any support for any of these functions. This is all the vendor putting up all the maps and court records and other stuff in between on the our site.
The county clerk land records also is the revenue piece. So there's
because these guys take a chunk of it too, right?
They do. They get a 15%.
Yeah. Has it always been 15%?
I'd have to take a look at that. I know this contract goes back some years.
Okay.
So this is a renewal of an old contract?
Yes.
Or existing?
Renewal of an existing contract through the remainder of this year.
And there's an RFP going out right now.
Yes.
And how long have we had this? Really?
It's been a while.
Is it because it's their system and they're maintaining their system?
It seems like that. I mean, it gets into the contract that the vendors are providing.
Well, it does say sole source.
Yeah, no, and they're also, I think, providing certain actual hardware in this thing as well. I have no idea what it is without actually going through specifically, but. Yeah. I was going to ask you questions, Joe.
Nope, of course. I'd ask the same questions.
Joe's like, I can't wait till these are my contracts.
Mr. Jared, do you want to hold off on this one until next week as well?
Joe, you can get this information to us by Tuesday.
Again, like I said, the RFP is being in draft, so this is something that
okay.
These are things that will be easily supplied, I'm sure. Moving on, resolution number 104.
Do I do 90?
Whoop, I'm sorry. Resolution number 90. approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amount of amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county of DC3 Inc., Department of Information Services. Joe, brief description?
Yes, sir.
I'll move it.
Move.
Second.
Second by Legislator Archer.
DC3 is a web hosting service for the New World Financial System. So that is hosted off-prem, off-premise in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay. So how is this different then from the from Resolution 89?
So that is, 89 is the software for the actual system. Now, where that software is residing is DC3.
It's a cloud based.
So it's the.
So we're paying out of both ends on this one?
This is not the only two ends that we're paying out for this one. It's a rather complex system.
Joe, can we get an assessment, I guess, overall of how much it's costing us overall in maintenance, soup to nuts on New World?
I can
considering that we now have all these multiple contracts coming up, so.
Yeah, well, and I've got.
Can you actually provide the committee with that though at some point, just to kind of get all the contracts together, and actually we actually understand exactly how much it's costing us per year to maintain the entirety of the system? Okay.
Just for New World, is what you're asking.
Just for New World, because it looks like it's popping up with stuff.
Legislator Archer.
So we're extending the contract again, right?
But it's
also increasing at the same time. Is that what this?
It is not increasing.
Then I'm confused. Could you help me with amended amount of $43,000 to a total amount of $368 and change? What does that mean?
That was the $368. That's not the not to exceed amount. So the $43,000 is for the remainder of this year.
Okay.
And again, this is another thing that we are receiving quotes for to change the vendor.
Is there an RFP for this?
There will be an RFP.
Okay.
Do we know when?
Right now we're just receiving quotes.
Okay.
So is the 368 aggregate over multiple years?
Yes.
Okay, and so
page one, like flip so, one more
yep.
page.
Okay. I appreciate it.
See where it says agreement, and right underneath there
yes.
says May of 2013 to December mm-hmm. 2018.
Got it. Yep, and it actually spells out each of the
got
schedules.
Yeah.
There, but
yeah,
this is the
filling
of law.
But
okay.
still, I mean, it's just one of these things where it's just when we start seeing multiple where, you know, I come and say, oh, well, we're paying out both ends of this? Oh, wait, how much each year are we spending
right.
on
there's
it? You know?
Be,
yeah.
I can tell you right now with the financial system. I mean, it's the software support, there's hardware support, which, you know, when you look at the servers, migrating the servers, that's a hardware support. And then there's also the hosting support. Now, I can tell you from an information services perspective, this particular item, the DC3 web hosting services, was done back in 2014. So at that time, I think the knowledge that I have was that the decision to host that New World system was to take it off-site, mm-hmm. You know, for redundancy, but also because the information services building is, I'm not sure if you're aware, but the building itself is not condemned, but it's got some roof problems, some structure problems. So the decision was, we don't want to host it in our data center because it's too important of a system that if something were to occur, then you know we're at risk. So it was done off-site. Now, since I got here, we looked at opportunities. Do we do you know, different cloud hosting platforms? Do we want to bring it back in-house? Because since 14, we've built up the infrastructure over at the sheriff's office. With you know generator backup, UPS backups, so we've created an environment, a stable environment within the county where we can host things. But that the space over there is limited. So we've looked at other opportunities, Amazon Web Services, Tyler, who owns the system, they have since started, I think, a couple of years ago after we did the VC3 web hosting, they started their own web hosting, and then also VC3 has come back and said that they would. Reduce our costs as well, but we would have to enter into an agreement, a three-year agreement with them. So we would receive a reduction, I think it's like a $21,000 per year reduction, but we're not ready to do that, to enter into a long-term agreement with them until we look at other opportunities. Okay. And from where I sit, We would like to do something like Amazon Web Services, where it gives us more redundancy, more flexibility, more, it's more cloud, it's more contemporary, but also that it could, that presence there would work to host other systems that we have throughout the county. And that's kind of our gateway. We're looking at EC3, you know, the transition from EC3 to maybe potentially Amazon Web Services as our gateway to be able to host other things and reduce the cost that, you know, you would see for all the, I mean, we have like 40 different, you know, contracts out there, different softwares, vendors. So so it's really looking at it from a holistic approach where we can save money throughout the county. So that, I know that's more than probably what you wanted, but when it comes to VC3, you know, this is just something that it was good for us at the time. But we're ready to move on. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, I see this contract's been amended 4 prior times. Is that, if I see that right? From 2013, there's, looks like this is a, would be the 5th amendment to this contract. Looking at the recital on page 1. I just, when the RFP was, I presume this went to for an RFP back in 2012 or sometime back then for this. I'm just saying, was it contemplated at that time that we would be making all these amendments to the contract? In as much as that, we, you know, when with other bidders or other potential proposers, could they have contemplated all these changes that we've made to the contract in the interim?
I don't think Jim was the person to answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. He's still, I believe, under a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm in my 6th month now.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
You're live ammunition now.
Okay.
But I will note from the administration that I don't hear nasty words about the Department of Information Services from my departments on a daily basis. It's gotten a lot better quickly, and we thank you for that.
That's great.
All right. So all good. Any other questions on resolution number 90?
So are we going to vote on this one?
Well, I was going to say, we held off on the other two. I don't know where we stand with this last one.
Has everyone's questions been answered, or is there information?
I think, unless you're looking for dollar amounts, I mean, I think, you know, the New World Financial System, I can tell you, is the hardware, the software, and the hosting at this point, which falls into the DC area. But I do still owe you an answer on the...
88 and 89.
And the little b, the server migration cost.
We can vote on this one.
Which I think that falls into... It's not software, but it's if we do a server upgrade, then that's that falls into a hardware cost.
Okay. Joe,
I was
question?
Just wondering which specific budget line inside of IS, the money we're talking about, which budget line is it coming out of?
Software and equipment. Software, warranty, and licenses. So it's not equipment.
It's not the equipment or software line.
It varies. It depends on, it's multiple GLs. It just depends on whether it's software, whether it's hardware, or whether it's professional services. This would fall under, I believe, the VC3 would fall under professional services.
Oh, okay.
All right,
thank you. Very good. Any other questions? On resolution number 90, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Aye. So carried unanimously. Resolution 104.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I would like, with unanimous consent, to group resolutions 104 to 107 together.
They're all appointments to the Ulster County Planning Board.
They are, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by legislators Litz and Archer. Mary, just a quick question on all four of them, so everyone is assured we do have the proper documentation.
Yes.
From each town, if they love them, we love them. They would be on this agenda if we did not receive a resolution of support for those individuals. So on resolutions to bind them, 104 through 107, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 108, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer 5339B and 5307 funding for bus replacement and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications agreements to accept funding for the Department of Public Transportation, otherwise known as UCAT.
I'll move it.
Legislator Maloney, just aren't we supposed to group them together and vote, and then we vote on them?
I actually said with unanimous consent, I'd like to go. Meaning, if nobody actually says no at that point, then you've grouped them together. That's a workaround. No, actually, if you go through Robert's Rules of Order, you'd be able to actually go and actually say the words with unanimous consent, and then did anybody say no? And it's like, okay, fine.
Gotcha.
Ooh, if you'd like, Mary Beth, we can rewind a little.
But if you want to vote on it,
if
you want
a
secondary, you know what, Mr. Chairman, in the effort to be as thorough.
And did we postpone the other two?
Now we did not. Now that's one thing, by the way.
No, we did.
Well, no. You tabled them. However, we actually did not vote on postponement. We actually are not tabling. We're actually postponing. Okay. She is correct.
All right. After Don Quesnel gives us a brief description of resolution number 108.
Right.
We will go back and do a little housekeeping.
Love it. I love it, Mary Beth.
Don, the floor is yours. Please take it over.
I promise I won't say anything.
No, Mary Beth, keep on.
Annual grant. This year we're looking to procure 2 small cutaway buses to replace our aging fleet. That's really all there is to it.
2 small cutaways?
Yeah. Okay. 22. Yeah.
Hmm? Wait, what was that?
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Legislator Mayo, second by Legislator Litz. 2 cutaways, 90%. What is the county's exposure? 80-10-10? Very good.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since we're on the UCAT topic, can I just, as you know, many of you know, the county executive discussed that he has an agreement in principle with the mayor to advance the expansion of our services into the city of Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
Something that there's a lot of moving parts. We've been spending a lot of time on it. I know Legislator Waltman has asked me several times about it. I'd like to get some thoughts from the committee with regard to how you'd like to see it move forward. I mean, we're in negotiations, we're working on agreements, whatnot. We're talking with the city about public outreach. Obviously, you know, it's an issue of concern that's important to all of us. You know, looking at the data, there's not a lot of ridership in the city, in all honesty. There are routes in the city right now where they drive around all day long and don't pick up a single soul in some of the routes on certain days in the city of Kingston. So, but that said, I think that, you know, having public input's important. I want to make sure that the committee is comfortable. I don't want to show up one day with a contract and where were you? So, from you, what are you looking for with regard to discussion about the... about the potential change.
I know we did get an update, what was it, 3-4 months ago,
yep. Mm-hmm.
With kind of proposed routes and, mm-hmm. you know, different things. Now, obviously, that's come a long way, but just a single meeting, then take it out to the public, have something at the county, have something at the city.
Okay.
You know, really showing how the system is going to work in the city. That's one of the, to me, that's the heart of it. I mean, people use, you know, uptown, downtown, crosstown, and then how it'll interlink with going up 28, going out to the town, going out, you know, going here, there, and everywhere. Still going down. They're still going to have a run that goes all the way down to
Ellenville on 209.
Ellenville. Yeah.
Do you want a special committee meeting around the time that we're getting ready to file?
Do it in chambers, invite the public.
Invite the public and do something in more detail.
Absolutely.
Are there any proposed workshops within the city, like various senior centers?
We're working with the, you know, obviously with the mayor and his administration, mm-hmm. and we're going to take a lot of their guidance and what they want. I mean, we're prepared to, you know, provide whatever, you know, information they want. You know, and you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, rebranding and the marketing, because there will be a period of time between, you know, if and when there's legislative approval from both bodies, and then to when we actually start. So we'll have a, you know, kind of a plan to kind of roll out, you know, once we receive those approvals. So.
And this is beyond just Kingston. It's all of UCAT service, right?
Yeah. So essentially, the
one system.
In simple terms, the city of Kingston would get out of the business providing bus services, and UCAT would expand our operating area within the boundaries of the city of Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to see some outreach into the housing authority properties, mm-hmm. Particularly Randout Gardens.
Sure, yep, we've done some of that. Okay. You know, we did a lot of pre-survey work, as you know, and I know that, that's important for the mayor as well, too, so we'll be having some meetings. And in fact, we've actually, as part of our route structure, I think we do a better job of picking up those housing communities.
Colonial and Flatbush.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do a loop up Pearl Street, too.
Yeah, what's nice about us expanding our routes is nice because it, again, there's no artificial line that stops before you hit the business resource center. So everything flows a little differently. I mean, I know people in Kingston that are excited to be able to go from one end of the city to the other in 15 minutes, which I think is going to be a major selling point. I mean, one of the things that's going to make this whole thing successful is that increase in ridership, based on improving the service. So.
Legislator Rodriguez, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, we will get back, of course, to Resolution 108.
Yes,
but that said, before we leave this topic, part of it, to Legislator Waltman's point about going and getting that buy-in from those who number one, probably either A, rely on public transit, or B, that should be, with a more useful and a user-friendly system, actually drive ridership up. But part of it, I think, also is that we may have to kind of go to some non-traditional, sources in terms of actually being able to kind of get, I think, real-time assessment. Because I think you actually have a lot of people, who are in, for example, downtown who would probably actually use a bus service if it was more connected to something. And that's part of, I think, the problems that they've had with City Bus. That's not the knock City Bus, but I think we all know that they've had problems in terms of how ridership actually works. So we've actually got just as much of a problem of the existing ridership as well as those who really should be riding it and yet can't because of a myriad of different problems of City Bus.
That's what I'm thinking about.
And that's not what I'm saying, because it is, part of it is Rondo Grounds, but it's also, way more than that. And it is somewhat a non-traditional base of people. So, I know, talking with Callie Jane, formerly of Citizen Action, I know, they've had a lot of informal discussion with their membership, and some of that is folks who were right here in Kingston. So,
I know that when we surveyed, it was clear to us from day one that people aren't riding the bus. We're not going to get a great survey of people that use the bus, right? So
sure.
We specifically made sure we surveyed the housing complexes as well, too. But again, I agree that, those are the people we want to attract into this system that we're building.
Yeah.
That's what's going to really drive the ridership we need to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Resolution 108.
Resolution number 108. Any other discussion for Don or Ken or Hector? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any nays? All right.
Could I have had questions
back
for myself?
Back to Resolution 104 through 107.
Actually, Mr. Chair, can we do it?
There was a motion to bundle them, or is there a motion?
We'll just vote on the block just to further sanctify our vote.
Is there a motion to block them?
Well, I already made a motion before to block them.
All right.
It says on the block.
On the block.
On the block.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. On Resolution 88 and 89, Mr. Chair, I move to postpone them 1 week.
Very good. Is there
second.
A second? All those, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Mr. De Leon, you'll provide that information, please.
Yeah. So if I can clarify,
yes.
It was 88. It was just all the financials with regards to the financial system.
Yeah.
And then on 89, it was just the original contract date. Is that correct?
I think so.
That do it for you, Hector?
The 88 was the 4,000. You wanted information on the
4,000. On the actual on the server, because you actually said to us that you think the migration already happened.
No, I'm getting confused with another.
Joe, don't get confused, Joe. I don't like confusion. How can I think Herb is supposed to make a motion to adjourn?
Herbie.
A motion for adjournment.
There you go.
Call for any old business or new business.
Yeah, that's right.
Any old, any new, anything. Open the floor.
Can I just make a quick comment?
Yes, you may.
The luminary, and I'm sorry, Ken left.
Yes.
The luminary proposal that I saw was much improved this last go round. And one of the things that I've been having conversation, some of us have been having conversation with Suzanne and Ken, is about performance measures. And right there in the context of that proposal are some really good monthly numbers that I hope we will be updated on as the Economic Development Committee as they roll out the marketing plans. So
Hector and I are both members. We can update you when we get them on a monthly basis. Suzanne comes every 3 months.
Yeah, so if you can share those with us, that would be excellent. In the written form or the form you get it in. I'd like to get it in writing.
You will get a... whatever I get, you will get.
Perfect. And well, and if and the preference
no,
is in
she
writing.
If we get a handout,
oh, yeah.
She will get
yeah,
the
no,
handout.
I'm just saying, I would prefer, hopefully, if that's the way they would do it, because about it's all about really kind of understanding a trend line of what's happening with the effort, and that's something I'm interested in.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay.
Motion on the table?
Second.
Thank you, everyone. We're adjourned. Back there, move your elbow.
Wow. Really neat.